All right, so one of the things that we did get to do while being stuck slash stranded in Raleigh
was to Cinema Chop Shop.
It's called the Raleigh Beer Garden.
That's a great one.
They have the world record, still standing, the Guinness Book of World Records record for the most beers on tap. 403 beers on tap. But it was pretty good. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is Travis, and I will be your host. And I'm joined in the shop, as always, by my co-host, Sean the Brew Boss.
What, no nickname this
time? I told you, I didn't make a nickname. It's kind of a heavy topic we're going with. And I also, like I just mentioned, spent a couple
stranded.
Days stranded.
We had plenty of time to think about
it. I should have used my time more wisely and come up with nicknames. But... say hello to the listeners.
Hey, everybody. If you hear a low rumbling bass sound...
that's just the Chop Shop.
We're just thumping the bass.
Yeah.
No.
Slapping the bass.
One of our neighbors is running a Bobcat backhoe, so...
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
All right. So, further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films with iconic actors... sometimes some real tire fires, and I think we've got a couple of tire fires on our hands today.
Oh, yeah.
Then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, a.k.a. contemporary actors. Actors who are at the height of their powers! All right, so at this point, we do the energy drink check-in. Sean, you've got one for us today. What is it?
It is Rockstar Punched.
Okay. Like the got your ticket punched?
No, like you punched your parents to death.
Oh, shit. That's an interesting way to describe it. And I think that we have not had this one on the show before.
I don't think we have. It's a fruit punch.
Yeah.
It is not sugar-free.
That's okay.
So, 240 milligrams of caffeine per can. Oh, Jesus. Hey, it's blood red.
Perfect.
Perfect for the show.
All right, we'll enjoy a little bit of this. It is. It's almost...
I want to say that we have had this, because it tastes like the Hawaiian punch, fruit punch.
Oh, we talked about
that. Yeah, I think we've had this one.
Maybe when Joey was on, we talked about Kool-Aid.
Yep.
All right, well, that being said, Monster, we know you've got that money. Oh, no, sorry. Rockstar energy drinks. We know you've got that money. Send us some. And with that, we will go into this week's Department of Corrections Department. It wasn't a big week for corrections. I probably said some shit that we didn't notice that went unnoticed, but there was one from a previous episode that one of our listeners pointed out, and it was my mispronunciation of the term evolution. I made the rookie move of slipping into that linguistic pit of calling it evolution.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that Professor Knowles pointed it out on the show. I think he made a joke about it.
He very politely tried to correct you. And,
It didn't take.
No, it did not.
All right, but that was the only big one that I noticed, and Sean as well. We did get an email from a listener. I just haven't had a chance to check the email, so there might be a fresh correction just waiting for us in the email.
We'll catch them next time.
All right, so that brings us to the theme of the episode. Sean, you were saying that the punched rock star is on theme because it's like you punched your parents, and I was saying punch your ticket, referring to the parents getting their tickets punched, because we're talking about Parasite movies.
Now what? Let's. What
it's
is
like
Parasite?
Ticks. They're like ticks and worms.
Yeah.
Tapeworms. Anything that feeds off of a host.
So Parasite is typically when a offspring kills
their parents.
Both parents. But it can be...
technically, yes.
Technically, yes. It can be either or, but those patricide and matricide.
Matricide is when you kill your mattress.
You just go to town on it. Hell yeah. And then but it can also include like a really close family relative, like an uncle.
Okay.
So Hamlet would be an example of Parasite.
Okay, got it. And the reason that we're doing this episode today is because it is actually today, as of this recording, August 4th, is the 126th anniversary of the Lizzie Borden murders that happened in 1892 in Fall River, Massachusetts. Give us a little bit of a breakdown, or are we going to get into that with one of the recasts?
Well, we can with one of the recasts, but it's still, it has not conclusively been solved to this day. And there are a lot of theories floating around about how she, if she did commit the murders, how did she get away with it? How did she stage it? Even though forensics were in their infancy around that time, blood on your clothing is a good dead giveaway, yet there was none. So there are some things about the murder that were quite sophisticated, if indeed Lizzie Borden committed them.
And it was also very outlandish at the time. Like, the media picked it up, and it became kind of a sensational story in the newspapers and stuff like that. And it's still kind of a notorious murder. So yeah, that's the reason that we're talking about Parricide today, which will bring us into our double feature. I'm really, really psyched about my double feature. I know you were saying you
do you want to go first?
Yeah, let me go first with mine, okay. And then you go, and just in case. But my first one, these two movies are so closely related, it's almost as though the writer of the second film was inspired by the previous one. So the first movie is called Badlands from 1973. It's directed by Terrence Malick. It's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it stars Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek. And the poster here, it says, he was 25 years old. He combed his hair like James Dean. He was very fastidious. People who littered bothered him. She was 15. She took music lessons and could twirl a baton. She wasn't very popular at school. For a while, they lived together in a treehouse. In 1959, she watched while he killed a lot of people.
Is that a poster or a fucking book?
Yeah, it's a poem. It's a poemster. But the movie is very bleak, and you've got this this black sheep guy who comes to town and lures away the young girl, and they kind of go on a crime spree after murdering her family.
And this came out when?
In 1973.
Oh, and Badlands. I'm wondering if I know what your next movie is.
Well, my next movie is from 1994, and it's called Natural Born Killers.
Excellent. Connection.
Which was written by Quentin Tarantino, but directed by Oliver Stone. It's only got a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it should be a little bit higher, but it is a very controversial movie.
Yeah.
Very similar situation. Older guy comes to town, rescues the young girl who's oppressed by her overbearing family, kills them, goes on a crime spree. Some other really good cameos in this
movie. Robert Downey Jr. is so good in this.
He's unhinged. Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah. Wow. Really, really solid movie. If you haven't seen either of these, really, I would suggest watching them together, back to back. That's the point of this segment, right? It's to suggest films that are at least tangentially related, that that are spiritual siblings. So that was my...
Excellent.
My two. And I didn't get either of yours?
No.
Nice.
No. So the first one in my double feature is from 1989.
Okay.
It's the Stephen King short story... Actually, what's a short story or a novel? Anyway, Pet Sematary.
Oh, okay.
This is a a cheesy movie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it reads cheesy. I remember when it came out. I didn't see it at the time, but I got the impression it was kind of silly. I mean,
I don't know if I've ever seen it in its entirety.
I mean, you put Fred Gwynne in a role, and I mean the Herman Munster connection. Yeah. My cousin Vinny. It just kind of. I had trouble taking it seriously, but it is a Parricide movie in that, gosh, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Pet Sematary.
It's okay. Spoil it for me.
But the they put their freshly dead kid in the pet cemetery, so he comes back from the dead. But he's got a thirst for blood, and he kills Mom.
Yeah.
And... I guess indirectly kills Dad because Dad puts Mom in the pet cemetery. She comes back to life kills him.
A vicious zombie cycle.
So by extension, I guess the kid kind of killed both parents. And that is kind of the same...
Or did they kill themselves by putting him in the pet cemetery?
Well, kind of the same thing happened in the second half of my double feature, and it's 2015's The Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, starring...
Spelled with two Vs.
Two Vs, also yes. known as, and I can't read this in this light, but it's a New England folk tale of horror or something like that. But Anya Taylor-Joy, whom I've used as a recast in the past...
She was excellent in that.
She is. And, you know, upon viewing this again, it's funny, hot on the heels of the Lolita, she played it super young in the first half of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And then by the end of the movie, she comes off as being very mature.
Yeah, and her whole dynamic changes.
But, you know, she kills her mother. Uh-huh. Spoiler alert, sorry. And the goat kills the father, but the question lingers as...
Wait, the goat named Black Phillip?
That's Black Phillip.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But the question lingers, you know, was she in control of the goat the whole time? Because that's what her two younger siblings were all saying the whole time, that, you know, she was the one calling the shots and she was the witch the whole time. So there's a lot of debate about what really happened, but... So for that reason, I put those two movies together because of the indirect / direct killing of the parents.
I gotcha. I like it. So speaking of Black Phillip, I was trying to remember that name all, I want to say weekend, but it wasn't the weekend. It was just 3 days stranded in Raleigh. I was trying to remember that name because we were staying at our buddy Will's house, who's actually been on the show before. He was on the Bachelor Party Movies episode at the Bachelor Party. He has a cat named Phillip, who is a piece of shit. He's the most psychotic cat I've ever seen, and he's fractious. Like, also speaking of Pet Cemetery, aren't there like pets that like fly across the room and stuff?
Well, there's the cat that they at the beginning that they bring back, and he's kind of
All right, I'm just gonna play a quick clip of this that I will later put on YouTube. This is Phillip protecting the house from underneath the coffee table. If you look over here, his eyes are glowing.
He looks just like the cat from Pet Sematary.
Evil. Evil, Phillip. You're a son of a bitch. All right, so is that the end of the midnight double feature for this week?
I think we can put a cork in it.
Double feature picture show.
All right, cool. Well, that brings us into our first feature segment. And, I love that music. It's actually, it goes really well with the construction that's going on outside.
It does.
Thank you again to Dr. Bob for that. And the first movie that we're going to recast is from 1993. It's another, at least... On the surface, they want you to think that it's a Parasite movie. From the opening scene until basically the close of the movie, you believe that the son has accidentally killed the father.
And the movie's called?
The movie is called Deadfall from 1993. It was directed by none other than Christopher Coppola.
No, is he Francis Ford Coppola's...
He is the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola and the brother to Nicolas Cage, who's also in this movie. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, yeah.
This movie has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Probably about accurate. It was pretty hard to watch.
There's so much wrong with this movie.
Yeah. So let's... A quick rundown of the premise. We've got this family of grifters, con men.
Yeah.
And the father and son... Joe Donnan and Mike Donnan run cons together. They work together. And in the very opening scene, we learn that a con goes wrong, a sting operation or a setup sting goes wrong, and he has accidentally loaded blanks into the gun. I'm sorry, loaded real bullets into the gun he's supposed to have loaded with blanks and...
Fired at his father.
So Michael Biehn... plays Joe Donnan, the young con man.
And that's the guy that played the original John Connor.
No. He was Reese. In Terminator 1. He was Reese.
Reese, and then he was also in... No, wait. He was Reese in Aliens.
No, he was Reese
in... Who was he in Aliens? Hicks?
I can't remember his name in Aliens, but he was definitely in that movie, and he was in Terminator 1. And you know what I figured out today that blew my fucking mind? Is that he's Johnny Ringo in Tombstone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. So apparently he actually can act, despite all evidence from this performance. But we also mentioned his father, Mike Donen, who is played by James Coburn, who takes on the dual role. He's playing two characters in this film. He also plays the twin brother,
Lou
Donen, which my recast takes that into consideration as well, having to play twin brothers. And then we've got the role of Eddie, portrayed by Nicolas Cage, the brother of director Christopher Coppola. And he's playing this coked out skis bag guy.
It's like an impression of a mafia capo on coke. He's got this ridiculous swoop over haircut.
He's constantly wearing sunglasses.
He's overly tanned. His hands somehow look extra meaty in the movie.
Yeah.
And he had big gold chunky rings on.
I wonder if Nicolas Cage tried to put on weight for the role.
I don't know, but he was off. I mean, for Nicolas Cage even,
yeah,
he was off the charts. I mean, this guy, he was insane in this film.
Yeah, his performance jumped the shark.
Oh, it was silly. I mean, it was laughable.
And his character is really like the go-between for Joe to find his Uncle Lou.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And Eddie also brings along his girl thing, his piece on the side.
Diane.
Diane, who was portrayed by Sarah Trigger, who was 25 at the time.
And nothing against Sarah Trigger, but I don't think she was a good casting because she's supposed to be super hot and seductive. And
it just comes off as kind of vanilla.
And excuse me. And before we get into the recastings, I noted several times along the way that there are key scenes in this film, I use that term loosely, that reminded me of The Room by Tommy Wiseau.
Okay, Tommy Wiseau's The Room.
Gotcha. I think Tommy took a lot of directorial inspiration
from
this movie.
Interesting.
Because the sex scene was as awkward. It was as awkward as The Room. There was, I believe, some like over the tops like symbolism, like roses and statuaries, and there's like one scene with like somebody spinning around a it's awful.
It's a tire fire for sure. So you said nothing against Sarah Trigger, but apparently some people do have something against Sarah Trigger because she was married to John Cryer for years and years.
Oh, really?
And she's been accused of plotting to murder him and also like abusing their children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's been in the news and in the courtroom as well. All right, so we've gone through the main roles, the basic plot of the movie. This is not a recommend from us. This happens to be a shitty movie that's older that fits the theme.
Well, if you're like a Riff Trax or an MST3K fan and you've got some buddies that like to make fun of movies, I would say yes, go for it because it's laughable.
Will and I did that the other night with Universal Soldier.
Yeah.
So let's get into the recasting. All right. We've got Joe coming up first, the young con Joe Donen. Joe Donen. He was portrayed by Michael Biehn. Michael Biehn was 37 at the time. And who is your gonna recast here?
My pick is age appropriate. He also kind of has some of the angular features. This is a face value pick, but he's also for the roles that he's played, I think he could do this. He was in that god-awful Hitman movie, Agent 47 Hitman, based on the video game.
Okay.
He was in The Young Victoria as Prince Albert, but I know him from the TV series Homeland, playing Peter Quinn, the agent who gets strung out on drugs.
Okay.
Rupert Friend.
Okay. All right. I gotcha. He looks familiar. I was picturing somebody else. I was picturing he's a bad guy who kind of looks like Nicholas Holt. He's been in like a... Never mind.
I got nothing.
Ryan Reynolds movie where he's... Anyway. All right. So my role of Joe is going to be portrayed by a actor who's also 37. And he is also American. And he's kind of got a reputation as a pretty boy. but I don't want you to think about his pretty boy roles. I want you to think about his performance in the revisionist Western Hell or High Water. I'm talking about Chris Pine.
Okay.
He was in a movie in 2016 called Hell or High Water, along with Ben Foster and Jeff Bridges. Really good modern noir Western. So Chris Pine is going to be my Joe Donen. And needless to say, they have a little bit of a resemblance, especially in this performance by Chris Pine.
I like Chris Pine.
Yeah. All right. Let's move it along to Mike/Lou Donen, the father and uncle who are both in the con game, right?
Yes.
And so you really see the dad at the beginning, and then you don't see either of them for a long time, and then you see the uncle in like the third act.
Right.
But they're twin brothers. And so I mentioned that I recently was riffing on Universal Soldier. I was thinking, who else could play twin brothers better than Jean-Claude Van Damme, just like he did in Double Impact. So I've got a couple of shots here. This is from an upcoming movie that's supposed to be actually a really good dramatic performance. I can't remember the title right now.
Yeah.
But then this one up here is from Jean-Claude Van Johnson, his recently canceled TV show. So yeah, we're bringing the Van Damme. The Muscles from Brussels is going to be our Uncle Lou slash
Mike. As long as he gets to do the splits.
Oh yeah, he will.
Yeah.
He's going to take your money and split.
Hey!
All right, so what do you got?
All right, so my guy has a long history of famously playing mafia slash criminal element type roles.
Yeah.
And as respected as he is, I find him to be very over the top, at least these days. I think he has a show on CBS now. God, now I have to look that up. Shades of Blue is the name of the show. But
police procedural?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, Shades of Blue tells me that it's a good cop, bad cop, even worse cop.
There's many shades of blue.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. But he's most famous for his role as Henry Hill in Goodfellas. It's Ray Liotta.
Oh, Ray Liotta's awesome. He would have to do the laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snicker that Ray Liotta does. Yeah, he's a scary dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's very intimidating. He's been in a lot of, like you said, mafioso
roles. I liked
him
in Narc.
Yeah.
Narc was a good one with Jason
First
Patrick.
Thing I remember seeing him in was Unlawful Entry with Kurt Russell and Madeline Stowe. He was a real creepo cop in that.
So yeah, the creep factor I think played into my reasoning.
Definitely.
So that's
he's it. We should definitely mention James Coburn, amazing character actor.
Our man Flint
in Like Flint, The Great Escape, also Magnificent Seven. He didn't actually get an Oscar until like 1999, and I can't remember what the role was.
I would never have guessed he had an Oscar.
He finally got one in 1999.
I like him, but
all right. Next up, we've got Fast Eddie. Uncle Eddie, portrayed by Nicolas Cage. We already mentioned that he is, in fact, brothers with the director Christopher Coppola, and they are also both nephews of Francis Ford Coppola. Nicolas Cage, of course, has gone on to a mega career. Christopher Coppola, not as much. My initial instinct was to recast one of our peers, Doug Benson, in the role, but he's more of a weed guy than a coke guy. So, but the appearance of Nicolas Cage in this was very Doug Benson to me, with the shades and the floppy hair. But instead, I went with somebody who could use some work. It's Rupert Grint from the Harry Potter franchise. Yeah,
it's funny you should mention that.
Really?
Yeah, you'll see why.
So yeah, he's He was, what was his Harry Potter name?
Ron Weasley.
He was Ron Weasley. And then can you think of anything else?
I know he's done other things.
Okay.
I just, off the top of my head, no, I can't.
Well, now he's going to be in the remake of Deadfall.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
All right. So my guy is a lot older than Nicolas Cage was in this film, but I don't
29?
Think, but I don't think it matters.
Rupert Grint is 29.
Yeah. I just, for this part, it doesn't matter. He's just crazy and he likes going to strip clubs and having outbursts, and you know, I'm talking about the character in the film, not our guy.
Okay.
My guy has played many roles. He's played many excellent movies. And I'm insulting him by putting him in this piece of shit, but He's played the villain, and he's played one particular villain that caught my attention and made me think of him in this part. But anyway, he was in Skyfall. He was in Beautiful. He was in The Sea Inside. But most importantly, he was Anton in No Country for Old Men. It's Javier Bardem.
Oh, Javier Bardem, yeah.
So I'm thinking of Frendo.
The flop hair and the
Frendo. And he was, you know, unhinged.
Yeah, and very, very subtly intimidating.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's definitely that's a much more low-key role, but I think he could amp it up for this cokehead.
Javier Bardem is a very, very talented actor. I don't think it would be a problem. All right, we got one more. Diane, who was portrayed by Sarah Trigger. She was 25 at the time. Like I mentioned, she was John Cryer's wife, but she was also in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. She was in PCU. She had a minor role in PCU. And then she also did stunts on the movie The Phantom with Billy Zane. The Phantom. All right, so I'll go first with mine. I think this is an excellent pick. She is the daughter of an 80s actress. She is the daughter of Leah Thompson. And I'm not talking about Zoe Deutsch this time, but her older sister, Madeline Deutsch. Madeline Deutsch, I think, is a dead ringer for this this character. And also, she has that kind of 80s movie lineage, because her mom's Leah Thompson.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. So what about your Diane?
My Diane, this actress is 27, and it surprised the hell out of me. And because I don't think of her as 27, because forever in my mind, she's going to be a kid enrolled at Hogwarts.
Oh, okay.
She's from Ireland, and I'm going to try to say the name of the town she was born in, because I want
Dana,
friend of the show, Dana, to correct me. She was born in Termonfeckin, Ireland.
Termonfeckin.
Her name is Ivana Lynch. She played the role of Luna Lovegood.
Oh, yeah.
She's all growed up.
Nice.
I think she would be a beautiful blonde bombshell for this.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is definitely what the role calls for.
Very nice. I like that. Do we need to say anything else about the movie Deadfall from 1993?
I think we've kicked it enough.
Yeah. Kick it when it's down. All right, so with that, we will go ahead and go into our intermission, but not before we say, let's all go to the lobby, let's all go to the lobby, let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves
a sharp axe and kill mom and dad.
Oh, all right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host Travis, just chiming in here at intermission to remind you about our online presence. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We post things about upcoming episodes, as well as the Chop Shopper Challenge, where you, the listeners, can pick some roles to recast yourselves. We're also on Twitter. We do some similar things on there. The Chop Shopper Challenge check-ins. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. If you ever want to comment on the show, that would be a good place to do it. As well as our email address. We are cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And we take suggestions for future episodes and any sort of commentary on the show. If you have corrections, if you notice some things that I say that might not necessarily be true, please let us know about that, because we do, the Department of Corrections Department. Once again, thank you, the listeners, for bearing with us during the intermission, and thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, or like us on whatever platform it is that you listen to your podcasts. And also, please remember to watch, shop, retrofit. I'm just glad I was able to remember what Black Phillip was from. I was thinking it was like the bad version of Santa Claus that brings you coal.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking it was maybe something like that. That's Krampus, though, isn't it?
Krampus.
Welcome back, Cinema Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during the intermission. We just had to take a pause for the cause, and we are back with you now, and we're ready to do one of our favorite parts of the show, the beer check-in. What have we got today, Brew Boss?
Well, we've got a cider
that was gifted to me by a friend of the show, Kira.
Oh, very nice.
Moved on to Charlotte, North Carolina, and this comes from Red Clay Cidery in Charlotte, and it's called Ginger Blue. It's ginger blueberry cider.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
I sampled this earlier, and I think that you'll enjoy it.
You said Ginger Blue?
Yeah, spelled with a J for some reason. J-I-N-J-A. Blue.
I told you about one of the friends of the brewery suggested a name for a cider that I don't think we can use.
Let's go ahead and say it here because we'll never use it.
Public opinion. He said that he thought of a new name for a cider and that he thinks it should be called Slip It In Cider. Slip It In being the title of the beer and cider being the style. So let's try this Ginger Blue. And who makes it again?
Red Clay.
I'm writing them down this time so I can remember to check them in a timely manner.
While you're getting that set up, we're going to jump into the movie marathon.
2018 movie marathon. It is the 216th day of the year. Sean, you had a big milestone.
I did. I hit 300.
Nice.
I did.
I have only gotten up to 280, but it's still a very respectable number considering it's only 216 days in to the year. What is the first one you want to check in today?
I'm going to jump in with number 292.
Okay.
It's a documentary from this year called 44 Pages. It is the behind-the-scenes look of Highlights Magazine,
for
children, as they prepare their 70th anniversary issue. These are some truly kind people doing good work, and I learned a lot of neat things about that magazine and how that's a family-owned operation. Mm-hmm. Even though they have some marketing and sales offices, not sales, I guess, because they don't sell advertising, but distribution offices in Ohio, the magazine itself was put together in the family mansion in the northeastern corner of Pennsylvania.
The Highlights Mansion.
Yeah, and it's like a population of 5,000 people.
Goofus and Gallant live there?
They do not live there, but they did come up several times, and they actually did a kind of like a reel of all the cross references of Goofus and Gallant through film and television.
Nice.
So that was kind of neat to nod to other people.
Very cool. All right, so my first one that I'm going to check in today is number 280, the most recent full movie that I've seen. Although I did have on at the brewery today, I had Road Trip 4, Beer Pong, and the only recognizable person in it was Daniel Putty from Community. But the movie I'm going to tell you about was actually on theme for this week's episode. It is a documentary. No, it's not. It's a dramatization that came out in 2017 called Menendez, Blood Brothers. And it is the story of the Menendez brothers. My review was fairly recent Lifetime dramatization of the Parasital brothers. Parasital as an adjective. I'm pretty proud of that. Courtney Love plays the mom and has... Oh, that's mean. Clearly had some work done. Courtney Love's face is all kinds of messed up. And that's speaking from the perspective of somebody who's seen Courtney Love before ever, you know. She's had some plastic surgery is what I'm trying to say. But the Menendez brothers, two affluent brothers in the 1990s who up and killed their parents and were one of the first to use the abuse defense. But if you're not familiar with that story, that and you like true crime, that's one to check out. Menendez, Blood Brothers.
What do you think about the cider?
I think it's good. It's got a very different feel than your typical, you know, apple-y hard ciders.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So I'm happy that Kira.
Yeah, thank you, Kira.
Dropped this off for us. All right, so we'll crack something open in a second.
All right.
In the meantime, I'll go ahead and jump in with my next one. This is a cross plug for a friend of the podcast, our peers, How Did This Get Made?
Okay.
With Paul Scheer and the gang. They just did this episode, Yes, Giorgio, from 1982. This was Luciano Pavarotti's cinematic debut in a movie that was about half an hour longer than it should have been because of unnecessary songs.
Okay.
And I watched an edited cut without the songs, and it was still a good
too long
hour and a half movie. But summarizing the plot, in which Luciano Pavarotti cheats on his wife with his American side piece.
Oh.
And no one seems to have a problem with this.
Okay.
I could see Jack Black in this role singing.
Oh, yeah.
Without the singing, of course. Luciano Pavarotti's acting and accent reminded me of Jack Black's portrayal of the Polka King.
Okay, yeah.
So I could.
But Jack Black can sing, of course, with Tenacious D.
Not Pavarotti.
No, but that's true. Very good point. All right. Anything else to say about that one?
No. That's just, I just wanted to push that in there.
All right. So the next one I'm going to check in is number 279. And I already talked about it. And it inspired me to recast this guy as twins, Uncle Mike and Lou Donan, in the previous recast. I watched Universal Soldier with my buddy Will over the past few days when we were up there. And it's a very fun movie to riff on. I've overlooked it, the film itself, and my review was overlooked by at least me. Campy sci-fi action with JCVD, of course, Dolph Lundgren, and then Tommy Tiny Lister, aka Debo, is another one of the mech soldiers. Quick sidebar about him, if I haven't mentioned it before on the show, he came to Florence a few years ago promoting Monster energy drinks.
You've mentioned it.
Have I? And how he
put you in a headlock.
He put me in a headlock and called it a ghetto massage. He also, I called him Tommy, and he said, call me Tiny. And I was like, okay, buddy, whatever you say. All right. You've got another one?
Yeah, I'm going to open up a beer real quick. This is Suede Smooth. Suede Smooth, collaboration beer from Fonta Flora in Morganton, North Carolina, with Scratch Brewing out of Indiana. This is a dry hop lager brewed with local filet. Filet, of course, being the stuff that makes gumbo green and thick.
Wait, is that real?
That's real.
What is it? What is filet?
It's a powder.
Oh, gumbo. I was thinking of Gumby.
No. Gumby. We're not talking about Gumby.
You said it makes him green and thick.
Well,
Gumby's green and thick.
I don't
know
if they put filet in Gumby.
Maybe that's why he's named Gumby.
All right, so while that's going down there, I checked in a movie that I did not realize was out. We've talked about it on the show. I brought up the casting and how I thought it was brilliant casting. I thought this movie was still in development.
Okay.
It's out. It came out last year, very quietly. Borg versus McEnroe.
Oh, really?
The biopic of John McEnroe versus Bjorn Borg.
In
1980 Wimbledon. Shia LaBeouf cast as John McEnroe.
And you said one of the most hated athletes of all time being portrayed by one of the most hated actors of all time.
Yes. It's a stroke of genius, yeah. Whoever thought to put those two together. But also, I'm going to butcher this name, Severer Goodnesson played Borg.
Yeah.
Cool, calm, collected. You know, that was Borg's kind of thing. You know, he was a technician on the court.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more going on beneath the surface, and the movie kind of gets into some of his upbringing and some of that stuff. But it's like he's the Swedish version of Tom Hiddleston.
Like, oh, okay.
Like, the whole time I'm looking at him, I'm like, that's Tom Hiddleston. And no, it's not. It's a Swedish guy. And but both of those guys were fantastic in this film. I really liked it. I don't know what the consensus is out there about it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
But, you know, I grew up, I actually liked McEnroe when I was a kid.
Didn't we notice that he's still playing tennis?
Yeah, he was doing like one of those senior charity kind of things, and he was owning some people.
Yeah.
Some guys that are younger than him, too.
For sure. All right, so what do we think of the Suede?
Suede Smooth?
Suede Smooth.
I like it.
It's a hoppy lager, right? Dry hopped lager beer brewed with local
filet.
All right, I like it too. I think it's really smooth.
There's a Gumby in every glass.
Yeah, I can drink that. All right, my final check-in for today is, this one's kind of silly, it was number 276, and it just happened to be on TV the other day. It's called Hotel Transylvania, the first one from 2012. And I was surprised to find, I guess this one slipped past my radar, but the main character is voiced by Adam Sandler, and the main dude, the human kid, is voiced by Andy Samberg.
It's a so secret son.
I said that it was further evidence supporting my theory that Adam Sandler is actually Andy Samberg's real dad.
I was wondering how you came by that. I saw it when you checked it in, and I said, did you actively seek out this movie to watch it?
So, nope, just happened to be on.
All right, so you get a pass.
Yep.
All right, third and final beer of the day is going to be also from Fontaflora Brewing. This one is a collaboration with Live Oak Brewing, and it's called Grodzicki. This is a hickory-smoked Polish wheat beer. Grodzicki is the style, and it's also the name of the beer.
Grodzicki?
I'll just give you the can so you can carefully write down it, because it's spelled like a crazy person.
All right. And where is this out of again?
Well, Fauna Flora is going to be the parent brewer, I guess. This one actually gets better as it warms up. The smoke comes out a little bit more.
And I'll hand this one back over there to you.
Oh, thanks.
Really cool label art.
Yeah, it's consistent. All the cans have that the waves of Fanta and Flora, but it's all color coded. So yeah, I really like their can design.
Live Oak Fanta Flora Hickory Smoked Polish Wheat Beer.
I could drink this with like a barbecue sandwich.
Oh yeah, that's delicious. Wow, the smoke really comes across.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that a lot too. All right. Did you do three?
I did three. We're done.
I did three. All right. So that means it's time for the continuation of our feature segment. The recast continued. Part two, the sequel.
Redux.
And this movie is very fitting for today's, because the anniversary of these events are coming up. The 126th anniversary of the Lizzie Borden murders. And so the movie that we're going to recast next is from 1975. It's called The Legend of Lizzie Borden, directed by Paul Wendkos, who I don't know much else about him. I didn't do any research on Paul Wendkos.
This was a made-for-TV movie, right?
Made-for-TV. It's got an NA on Rotten Tomatoes, but probably wouldn't have scored too high. Would you venture to guess what... What would you wager its score would be if it had one?
Oh, God.
upper 20s, maybe?
Upper 20s, yeah. I was going to say 30, maybe, on a good day.
And so we've really kind of glossed over the details of this murder. We're talking about 1892, and for no apparent motive, somebody brutally murders the father and stepmother in this household. Now the movie gets into some of her possible motivation. The pigeons, the father killing the pigeons was something that they theorized. There's also a certain amount of theorizing that Lizzie and the housekeeper were having a lesbian love affair.
Right.
In fact, there's a new movie coming out called Lizzie with Chloe Svengey.
Svengali?
By golly, Svengali. But you know who I'm talking about. Chloe Svengey and Kristen Stewart, in which they play Lizzie and Bridget. And wow. they get more into the lesbian aspect.
Talk about an odd couple casting.
Yeah, but I think they were just like, who would be hot to have making out in a bloody axe scene?
Okay.
So that's... The Legend of Lizzie Borden is the story of those murders and the ensuing trial. It's not a spoiler because it's history. She got off. She was acquitted on the murder charges, correct?
Yes.
All right. So we've got the role of Lizzie Borden, who was portrayed by Elizabeth Montgomery.
Who you realized after the fact?
After the fact is Samantha from Bewitched. And didn't we just talk about Bewitched during the Evolution movies? Because Dick York played
Dick York,
Darren on Bewitched. Yep. Connections, man. And she was 42, but playing 32, right?
Uh-huh.
And we've also got her father, who was portrayed by Fritz Weaver.
Who was 49 at the time.
Playing Andrew Borden.
Her father in the film was only... 7 years older than the actress
in real life
playing Lizzie Borden.
Yes. And Fritz Weaver was in a bunch of like horror stuff in the 70s and 80s. He was in Marathon Man and Creepshow. And then the last one that we're going to recast is the housemaid, the
Bridget Sullivan,
who was portrayed by, do you want to try and pronounce that one?
Fiona La Flanagan.
Okay. That's a tongue twister right there. She also is a political activist as well as being an actress. She is Irish. She was in The Others with Nicole Kidman. She was also on Lost, the TV show Lost. And she's in the movie Waking Ned Devine. Also, The Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood. You can mash those together. So,
this movie has also been remade, I guess we should mention. Christina Ricci's played this. And I think there was even like a sequel or something as well with her in it.
I think it's probably a story that's been around long enough in like the collective knowledge that it's just ripe for the cinematic treatment.
Sure. Well, it's kind of like an American version of the around the same time, you know, the Jack the Ripper murders. Yeah. You know, it gives us a sensationalist murder for people to get.
Oh, did you hear that theory that Jack the Ripper was actually Lizzie Borden? Not really. So let's go ahead and get into our recasting, right? Elizabeth Montgomery, Lizzie Montgomery was playing Lizzie Borden. And my theme. I have a theme for all of my recasts. I decided that all of my actors are going to be former child actors, because who's more likely to kill their parents than former child actors?
Okay, good call.
That's my theme. I was struggling to come up with a gimmick on this one, but I did. And my first one, you would know her for portraying Punky Brewster on TV's Yay! Punky Brewster. Her name is Solil Moon Frye. Solil Moon Frye. She played Punky Brewster, but now she's going to play Lizzie Borden.
She's like a director now, right?
Probably.
No, I think that she got into directing, writing, producing kind of stuff.
I would not be surprised.
Well, she grew up really nice, didn't she?
Okay. All right. So who is your Lizzie?
Okay. So that was your theme. I went with a faithful recasting of the TV movie.
Okay.
So I was going for mimicry of the cast members from the original, since this movie has been redone in a more straightforward fashion for a general audience. So when I got chills when I picked this to cast as my Elizabeth Montgomery doppelganger. Age wise, very similar. Mm-hmm. She is 44. Sarah Paulson.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
From the sure.
She's in the American Horror Stories.
Yeah, American Horror Story stuff. She was in 12 Years a Slave. She was in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
She's also going
to kind of circle back to another podcast reference.
She's in the O.J. Simpson miniseries.
Yeah. She played Marsha Clark. Right. So, yeah, I think that she would be a great Elizabeth Montgomery echo. Nice.
My pick is also 41, same age as the original, or almost the same age as the original actress. All right, so continuing with my theme of former child actors, I originally wanted to go with Emmanuel Lewis and have Webster be the dad.
It's Emmanuel, not Emmanuel.
Emmanuel Lewis, yeah, he's the Antichrist. So I instead went with the Beeve himself, Jerry Mathers. Jerry Mathers is going to be the dad. He's 70 years old now, which is more appropriate to the approximate age differential that would happen in real life. So Jerry Mathers, man, what more can you say about him? He was in Still the Beeve later. Jerry Mathers.
Jerry Mathers. Well, yeah. that's an interesting selection. I went with somebody who is also in his 70s. I think he's 78.
Okay.
But he's still acting. He's still going strong. And he has played some contemptible characters, but most people like him because they remember him as is Farmer Arthur from Babe.
Movies. I know.
It's James Cromwell.
James Cromwell.
I think James Cromwell would play a great, Amish bearded,
big time
version of the father that was in this TV movie.
I think he could also play like an imperial admiral pretty well.
Did he?
No, he doesn't. But I think he could. I think that maybe they should have used him instead of the CGI Grand Moff Tarkin.
He was also in that the Young Pope TV series that came out a couple of years ago. I liked that show. Did you ever see that?
I haven't seen it, but Mark loves it. Friend of the show, Marco.
Fuck that guy.
He's a big fan of that show.
I'm not a big fan of him.
See, he was sending me pictures of books that he found in the library because they're like
nerd taking pictures of books.
They're recataloging all these things in the library, and he sent me a picture. And the caption was, "I've heard of young popes, but," and then the cover was "Bad Popes." was the title of the book, and my reply was, "Refuses to wear funny hat, actually shits in woods." speaking of mixing metaphors. All right. So do you want to go first with your Bridget Sullivan, since I've gone first for each of these?
So I went with someone who was born in Glasgow, Scotland.
Okay.
And she has played roles where she is the help.
Oh. Octavia Spencer.
God damn it.
Did I get it right?
No. Oh. She was also in No Country for Old Men. Odd that I picked up on that.
Okay.
She was in Gosford Park. She was one of the voices in Brave. But the role that I thought of first when considering this was her part in Boardwalk Empire on HBO. Margaret Thompson was her character's name, but the actress is Kelly MacDonald.
Kelly MacDonald. Let me see the picture real quick. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she's always, and there's another film that she's done recently where she was kind of like a live-in housekeeper.
Yeah, and like you said, you were doing like a
I'm trying to be faithful to the TV movie, right?
Like step by step. All right, I like it. Okay, so my last pick for today, and my last former child star who's going to be involved in Parasite. She's been on Dancing with the Stars. She's also a mathematician, but you would probably know her better in the role of Winnie on The Wonder Years. It's Danica McKellar. She is 43 now and I think she was just born to play Bridget Sullivan opposite Solil Moon Frye.
That's an interesting pick. She's a math whiz.
Yeah, I just said that.
And I'm sorry, I'm looking ahead to the honey roast.
Okay.
I apologize for not listening to you.
You were listening to me.
I'll hear it when I edit this episode. But she has a great cameo on an episode of Impractical Jokers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And one of the wimpy one of the group, he was the big loser, and they had told him he was going to compete in a bodybuilding competition.
Against gold and frankincense?
No. So they shaved him and oiled him up and gave him a fake spray tan, and like, you're going to go out. And he was in line with all these bodybuilders, right? And they were like going out, and then they said, all right, you're next. You've got to go out there and flex. So he goes out there, and he starts doing this flex thing, and he realizes that the room's empty, and he looks to his right, and she's sitting there.
It's just Danica McKellar.
It's just Danica McKellar, and apparently he had a major crush on her.
Uh-huh.
And here he is in like a Speedo,
yeah,
greased up, completely spray tanned, and he has to sit there, and then they hand him these interview questions. Or she interviews him, or he interviews her, and it's completely uncomfortable, and she does a great job of like maintaining her composure.
I think it's safe to say a lot of people had a huge crush on Winnie from The Wonder Years.
Sure.
But what do we think about the recasting of Lizzie Borden?
I like the recasting. The film itself was kind of a dud.
Did you see the one with Christina Ricci?
I've not, but some of our listeners have, and they said that it's pretty good. So I might give it a watch.
I have to check that out. All right. So one of the other people who was in recast movie number one, the not so great Deadfall from 1993, was a guy named Mickey Dolenz. Mickey Dolenz. When you were watching it, you sent me a message. You're like, holy shit, Mickey Dolenz is in this. Of course, he was the drummer and lead singer for the pop rock group The Monkees.
Yes.
And later he would have other roles on other TV shows, but he also went out for roles that, like a lot of actors do, went out for roles that he didn't always get. One comes to mind. He auditioned for the role of Arthur Fonzarelli on Happy Days, but he was turned down because he was taller than Ron Howard.
Oh, God,
and they didn't
really
want to detract from Ron Howard's character being the star of the show, which that didn't work because the Fonz eventually became the breakout character for that show anyway, overshadowing Opie. And so, but my real, he didn't get the Fonzie role, but my real roast, my honey roast of Mickey Dolenz is that he plays a nearsighted bus driver in all three versions of this film. He's in the PG rated version, he's in the R-rated version, and he's in the X-rated version.
Oh, my.
It's called Linda Lovelace for President. And it was her last attempt to break through from the world of adult films into mainstream. And Mickey Dolenz is the nearsighted bus driver. So that's my honey roast of him. That's pretty cool.
Did you know that Mickey Dolenz is an atheist?
Oh, well.
When asked about his belief in God.
Honey roast over.
Did we pick up a sponsorship I didn't know about? When asked about belief in God, he said God is a verb, not a noun.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know how you would use God as a verb.
I'm just over here godding. I'm just godding it up all day. But, you know, I'm going to go down to the park and god. So that's interesting.
He did a record album of the classic songs of Carol King in 2009.
Yeah,
it was titled King for a Day.
Okay,
I'm curious how those go.
That's very interesting.
Don't think I would have ever thought for him to do that.
Now, isn't it true that when the Monkees first started, they weren't actually musicians? They were hired as actors who later had to learn musicians.
I won't disagree with you. I don't know if that's okay. True.
It might be an urban legend.
I don't know if it's true, but I have heard it because that was always the big knock against them, mm-hmm. was that, you know, they'll never be the Beatles because they don't have the musical talent.
And I'm pretty sure that, as the story goes, the urban legend goes, is that they had to bring in Jimi Hendrix to teach one of the Monkees how to play guitar. Yeah.
Did you know that Mickey Dolenz in 1980 produced and directed a sitcom called Metal Mickey?
Nice.
It's featuring a large metallic robot with the catchphrase boogie boogie.
Did you know that Mickey Dolenz, who doesn't read books, he just stares at them until he gets the information he wants?
How are we going to turn that into one of these?
Yes. I feel pretty good about the,
I think he,
the,
I think
the honey roast
said enough
of,
good. I can't think
Mickey
of a
Dolenz.
Bad thing to say about Dolenz.
No, no.
I just...
the other thing about...
I will say this. When Davy Jones died,
uh-huh.
I had one of my best Facebook posts ever, and I have people to this day tell me it's the funniest thing I've ever written.
Okay.
I said, Davy Jones is dead. Now I'm a bereaver.
Now I'm a bereaver. Oh, I get it. So the other thing I was going to say, I didn't mention earlier about Jerry Mathers. He has diabetes, and his doctor told him he had to lose weight, and so he went on Jenny Craig and lost like 40 pounds and then became the first male spokesperson for Jenny Craig. We're not honey roasting Jerry Mathers here, Travis. Get it together. All right, guys, it's time to wrap up the show. I hope you've enjoyed the show as we've presented it, the Parasides episode. We want to thank there's no guests to think about plugs. Do we have anything we want to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to plug your bit at the brewery coming up on August 22nd.
Right answers with wrong Travis. Nice. That's going to be, actually it's the 22nd and the, because there's
27th.
There's more than four Wednesdays this month.
Yeah, so we're going to have two in August, and if anybody likes trivia, I recommend you come out because mm-hmm. we're going to be doing beer credits for prizes, mm-hmm. and we'll be doing halftime prizes. So, yeah, come check it out. It's going to be awesome.
Very nice. I want to plug the podcast itself. Thank you guys for listening. If you ever want to send us an email, do so several days in advance because I probably won't look at it in time. But we are cinemachopshop@gmail.com. We also have a social media presence. We're on Twitter. We're at cinemachopshop. And also on Facebook, we're facebook.com/cinemachopshop. All of that is Google searchable if you just type in Cinema Chop Shop itself.
And if you're a new listener, please, please rate and review us.
Yeah, rate, review, subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to. Reviews are awesome. If we get some reviews, that would be great.
But only the good ones.
Yeah, the good ones especially. And we also, I was asking Andrew Tay, the Canadian in your brain again.
Andrew.
When we first started, if he made an Instagram page, and he says he didn't. So for some reason, we might have a fake Cinema Chop Shop Instagram page floating around out there.
Hmm.
We might be getting trolled.
Oh.
But we are going to start an Instagram page. And we'll take pictures of things that are movie related and things like that. And also, the engineering. Thank you, Sean, for engineering and editing. And we want to say to you, the listeners, thank you for listening again. And please remember to watch, chop, retrofit.
And don't kill your parents.
And don't kill your parents. And tip your bartender.
Yeah, it would be bad.